Blog Talk Radio.
I hear a lot of talk about old-time great fighters. I hear people say that Joe Louis, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, Jim Jeffries, and all of them would have annihilated the likes of myself, Muhammad Ali. After watching these films, watching their opponents, watching their styles, watching how they fought, watching the footwork and their speed, and my critics will admit that I am the fastest heavyweight in the history of boxing with feet and hands. It may come as a shock to you, but I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a-poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Is Joe Frazier your cousin?
That's right. He sure is.
And you think your cousin can whoop me?
Uh-huh.
You really do?
Uh-huh. Anybody on my...
Anybody on your what?
Anybody in my family, I think.
Yeah. Anybody in your family can whoop me.
Yeah,
it's
me.
I'm sorry, Joe Frazier is your cousin. After I whoop Joe Frazier, you still gonna come in here and buy a champ burger?
Uh-huh.
If
no.
I beat him, you gonna still buy a champ burger?
Uh-huh.
All right.
But
try not to.
Let me see you close your mouth. Just keep it closed.
Well, you know that's impossible.
No, no, no. Keep it closed.
You know that's impossible. I'm the greatest. And I'm knocking out all bones. And if you get too small, I'll knock you out.
Of course.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Chilling with Cheese, everyone. I'm your host, Robert Cheese Gardner. That was some of the great memorable clips from the great Muhammad Ali. As you all know, passed away this past Friday midnight at the age of 74 after a long, long battle with Parkinson's disease. But yeah, I'm not. I made it a point tonight to make this a celebration of a world icon. Of course, we all did our crying. I know I have. I mean, it was like a family member passing away. So yeah, tonight it's going to be about reflection, great memories from who many consider to be the greatest fighter of all time. So feel free to call in, voice your opinion, give me some of your great Muhammad Ali moments throughout his history. Of course, you call in at 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. As most of you know, as I stated before, he battled Parkinson's for over 35 years. So it's remarkable that he fought so long. You know, but then again, that's what the man did his whole life. From the 1960 Olympics in Rome to winning a title against Sonny Liston, who many felt at that time was invincible, going on to fight the U.S. government for not going to war in Vietnam, not being drafted, losing 3.5 years of many people consider that to be the prime of his career. So, you know, a lot of people go both ways in that, and you always have different opinions on the champ, but this is a day we're going to celebrate his life, and give me your thoughts and opinions, and we're going to roll with it. We got a caller already, so we're going to get it cracking. Hello, caller, welcome to Chillin' with Cheese Show. What's your name? Where you calling from? Hello, caller? Call is dropped. I guess they may call back. We're going to have a few guests on the show today. We've got a few people, special guests calling in. One of the people that I really, really wanted to have come on the show, who amongst everybody in the sport of boxing will know him well in and out the ring, and that will be Larry Holmes. I will have him on the show in a little bit, and He's always gracious. He's always come through for me. So this should be a great show. Again, if you have any of your great Muhammad Ali moments, please, please call in. 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. As I sat and looked back over Muhammad Ali's career and you saw the great opponents that he fought, whether it's George Foreman, Joe Frazier three times, Ken Norton a couple of times, Sonny Liston twice. The list goes on and on. The great Larry Holmes. The list goes on and on. And many people consider that to be the heyday of boxing. So, yeah, man, if you got any kind of memories or whatever, feel free to call. I'm going to try to get the champ on and as soon as possible. So, yeah, look forward to that. And so, yeah, feel free to call in. But while I'm speaking, I'm trying to get the champ. Just bear with me. We'll see if I'm on. Sorry about that. Caller, you there? Yep, anyway, we'll try to get someone to call us to call in. Seems though, of course, it would happen on a special show. But, yeah, we're having technical difficulties. But, yeah, we'll get through it. But, yes, if you have any great memories, please call back. Seem to have the lines back up and running once again. So, we'll see.
Hello, Chief.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is incredible. Yes, we're back on the air. Had some difficulties, but anyway, getting back to Ali and his legacy and memories. You have any kind of memories of the champ, feel free to call 718-305-6496, 718-304-6496. Yeah, I've lost about three calls, but, you know, that's the way it is, I guess. So we'll see if we can get the champ on now. He should be ready, so we'll see if we can get in contact with him. But nevertheless, the funeral will be taking place in Louisville, Kentucky on Friday. So we're calling the champ now as we speak. Sorry about the whole mix-up, everyone, but should have it taken care of now.
Hello.
Hey, Larry, how are you? This is Rob from Chilling with Tease. How are you?
Who are you?
How you doing, man?
I can't hear you. Hold on a minute. Okay.
Hey, you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. How you doing, man?
I'm all right, man. Tired. That's all.
Yeah, I know you are. Sorry to call you at this bad time. Of course, everybody's having a hard time. And I thought you'd be the perfect person to talk about Muhammad Ali. Of course, you knew him in and out of the ring, sparring and fighting him. Just give me your thoughts on the legacy of Muhammad Ali.
I think everybody said it already, that how great of a guy he was personally. And how well he can fight, how well he can create things and do them, how people fell in love with what he did. Some people that don't know no better still have anger against him for not joining the service, but they brought that up. But they don't know why he didn't do it, and I don't blame him. I probably wouldn't have done it either. But
right.
In my opinion, he was a great man. So these no-sayers that don't know, they can say anything they want. But I know because I was there.
Right. And going back, you bring up a great point. A lot of people who have this thought in their mind about him being a draft dodger, and he's always made the point that, you know, during that time and, you know, leading up to now, African Americans weren't treated fairly. So he thought that why should he fight for a country that, you know, obviously he felt wasn't fighting for him. What do you have to say about those people who consider him a draft dodger and, you know, bro,
first of all, he didn't go to Canada like everybody else did. He stayed at home like he stayed, you know. And he told him how he felt, you know. They ain't never called him no nigga, so why should he go thousands of miles over there to fight those people when they still call you a nigga right here in the United States? It ain't his war, and I believe that. And I go along with that. You know, it's our country, but we ain't fighting over there. They ain't over here trying to kill us. They over here trying to kill us, then I think we should defend it. But never less than that, he was a great man in the ring, which I quickly learned that, you know, when he gave me the opportunity to fight with him and be a sparring partner with him, you know, I worked with him from 1971 to 1975. I worked with him with the Foreman fight, with the Frazier fight, with the Norton fight. I worked with him, you know, and he was a hell of a guy. Always treated me, you know, like I was the champ.
Right.
I don't have anything negative to say about the guy because he was good. You'll find a lot of crazy people saying things that they don't know. I know, and I know that he was a good guy. I know that he would give his shirt off his back if you need a shirt. I know that when you ask for autograph, he'd give you one. When you want a picture taken, he'll take the picture with you. I mean, he'll tell you some jokes. He'll show you some magic tricks. He'll do all of that stuff. I mean, he was an entertaining boxer. He's a guy that you like to be around, you know, because he's a magnet. He draws people. He draws good people to come in. You know, you want to be around them. I mean, he didn't only could fight, you know, was fighting Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Kenny Norton, and them tough guys, you know, because they were tough, but I was with them too. So I know they were tough, and he handled it. And that's what he's going to be remembered by, man. He can not only talk, but he can fight.
That's right. And you told me on a few occasions how, you know, you being at that time, being a young, big, strong fighter and taking you into the training camps. How was those sparring wars back in the day when you actually got in the ring with him? I mean, at that point, I assume you were, you know, at the beginning, it was a learning experience. But after a while, I know he could see that you know, you were probably going to be the next champ. What was that like?
Well, you know, the first time I ever worked with Muhammad Ali, I mean, it was like a dream come true. I never thought that I would ever be working with him, you know. I worked with him one time on the exhibition in Reading, Pennsylvania. He gave me a black eye. He wanted to put ice on the eye to make sure that I was okay. And I told him, no, I'm not going to let you put ice on the eye because I want to show this eye off to all the people. I don't want no ice. I mean, this is a bag, man. And I want to show people that Muhammad Ali hit me in my eye, gave me the black eye. And people thought I was crazy. He probably thought I was crazy. But I showed the people that eye. They didn't believe me anyway, so I had to show them pictures. They still didn't believe me. But when they see me working with Muhammad Ali, they came to see me working with him, then they start with a different tune. And then him and I became good friends, you know. You get a lot of people out there that said, Ali, if they friend, they know Ali this, they know Ali. Yeah, you get a lot of people tell a lot of lies, you know what I mean? Ali was a guy that he did things by himself. And he had his guys around to protect his back and watch his back. And, you know, he was a good man. He's like, hey, Larry Holmes knows him. Larry Holmes been with him. Larry Holmes knows how he feels. So I knew when he had to fight, and he had his head down in the corner, and then look up at you, and then and he told me that he was going to be a tough fight before he fought the fight. I know that because he told me, and he was scared. And he told me, and then I seen him there. But I told him, "But hey, you're the champ, though. You're going to be all right. You ain't got to worry about that, Trump." You know, and I told him, I said, "George Foreman, you're going to knock him out in 8 rounds. And he did all of that. So, you know, he was a good guy. But people say a lot of things that they don't really know nothing about Ali. But he's a, yeah. he was a great guy, man.
And that's the good thing about, you know, being, you know, I consider, you know, a friend of yours. And it's a good thing because you, like I told you earlier, you have insight that 99.999% of the world does not know. And I wanted everyone to gauge or get a sense of what the real man was like. And I thought you'd be the perfect guy for it. I know you ain't got long. You mind taking a couple calls? Because I put your name out, and I know a lot of people, you know, you're a popular guy. So you want to take a few calls, Larry, while you're here?
Long time I'll be here all night. We got it.
No. All right. We got a caller. Caller, where you from? You want to say something to the chat?
Because they can't hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably. Hey, caller, you're live on the air. You want to say anything to the chat, Larry Holmes?
This is Cassius,
Rob. Hey, Cassius. Hey, Larry, this is Cassius Chaney, one of the young heavyweights. And I told him you were coming on. He said he had to call. You know, to say a few words to you. Cassius, you anything you want to say to Larry, man?
Oh, nah, man. I'm just a big, big fan, and I study a lot of your films, and I'm trying to master your jab, you know. And, I'm also, Don Turner told me that you're the best fighter he's ever had, ever trained.
Well, that's because I worked hard for him. And Donald Turner can tell you, you know, that I did not mess around. I did go, I worked at my goal, and I learned a lot of that from Muhammad Ali, man. I learned a lot of it out there. People, they talk stuff. Say, man, you work with Ali, you just a sparring partner. I said, yeah, but this sparring partner is going to learn how to fight, and I learned how to fight. So, you know, Donald Turner can tell you that Larry Holmes learned how to fight. I threw that jab probably better than anybody. Even better than Muhammad Ali and better harder than him. So, you know, I learned that, and I learned it from him. And what he didn't teach me, I learned on my own, man. Boxing is no joke. Boxing is a game that you have to get in to be serious, and then you can take over, man. If you're working with Donald Turner, he can tell you that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he told you me. Know he what? Told me you ain't mm-hmm. like any noise in the gym.
Hey, Larry, fast forward to about 1980, of course, and that's when you had fought Muhammad Ali. And at that point, you know, you were the big man on campus at that point. And I know you had mixed feelings going into that fight because he was sort of someone you looked up to, but, you know, business is business. How did you feel going into that fight and after the fight when you stopped him?
Well, I didn't feel good doing it, and I knew that Ali really didn't want to do it because he knew that I could beat him because, you know, he was on the decline when I fought him, but, you know, he was determined to get himself in condition so he can get out there and fight me, probably try to win the fight and plus pick up that $10 million that they were paying. And that, you know, that was okay with me. And I didn't fight about him picking up that $10 million and he's getting a lion's share of the money. Because he was the man to bring the money. He demanded people wanted to see. They was just looking at Larry Holmes as a possibility of being a good fighter, a great fighter. But it wasn't about me. It was about Muhammad Ali. And I okayed it for him to get that $10 million so he can go off in the sunlight happy, you know, like all fighters should go out. So he was a great fighter, man, a great man. And I don't care what people say, they can talk all the stuff that they want, but they don't know what I know. He was a great man.
Right. And I know you'll be heading down to Louisville for the funeral services. Is there anything, while Cassius is on the line, he, like I said, he's a young heavyweight with Kathy Duva, main events. Is there any kind of advice you can give to young Cassius and his rise up in the heavyweight division?
Don't listen to people that tell you you can't do something, because if you put your mind together, you can do anything. You don't have to listen. They said that, Larry, you're copying off of Muhammad Ali. So what? So what? I learned from Muhammad Ali. If I can catch something that somebody's doing that I like, it's going to work for me, I'm doing it. And you do the same thing. So, but you got to work. You got to dedicate. You got to discipline yourself, man. When those guys want to go to the bar and have some drinks, or go in the corner and smoke some reefer, you know, you walk away from that stuff, you know, because you have a future and you can be a great, you know, asset in the game of boxing if you don't do that crazy stuff. I had fighters out there that I was training, and I stopped training them because they wouldn't listen. And, you know, they end up in jail and stuff like that because they had nothing else to do but rob people and smoke that marijuana and stuff like that. With that, I was not going to allow that or go for that. Well, man, dedicate, discipline yourself, you'll be fine.
All right, I got you. I understand. I appreciate it.
I know you got to go, Larry, but you had told me something earlier. June 9th is the anniversary. Tell everybody about that, because this is one of the best heavyweight fights of all time.
You know, it's something that Ali, they're having a big day for Ali down there in Kentucky on June the 9th. That's the day I won the heavyweight championship of the world, June 9th, 1978, when I fought Kenny Norton. And, you know, people thought I couldn't beat Kenny Norton. You know, I had a lot of problems going into the fight because I ripped a muscle in my arm. But guess what? I continued to go on. I kept believing in myself, and I worked that arm, put the ice on the arm, and I worked that arm. But when I got in that ring, that bell rang, I fought this man with the one arm 15 rounds. So, you know, it's like you said, it takes dedication, discipline. And this day here on June the 9th, that's Thursday, will bring back all those memories. It'll bring back the memories when I'm going down to say goodbye to one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Yes, indeed. God bless you, man. I appreciate everything you've done for boxing, the sport of, and I'm sure Cassius feels the same way. You're always welcome to come on the show, and please come to Baltimore so I can get you a crab cake. Don't bluff me next time.
Okay, we got it, Cutting. All right.
My man, thank you, man. I appreciate
Bye.
It.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
Hey, Cassius, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, man, number one, first of all, happy birthday, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I called in at the right time.
Yeah, man. Now, what'd you take from Larry, man? And I'm glad you called, because you're the main one I wanted him to engage with. What do you take from that interview with him?
Oh, man. I mean, he said pretty much everything that I've been told in regards to, you know, dedicating yourself to the craft and him not taking any nonsense in the gym, so.
That was just a cool, experience for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So I know your namesake, of course, Cassius, and I know you had, which is ironic because you had a fight the same night. Did you, going into the fight, did you know that at that point Ali was in the hospital, or did you hear anything before your fight?
I saw it on ESPN that he was he was sent to the hospital. But of course I felt like he was going to, come through again. And, I didn't think anything of it going into my fight or anything. And, I heard the news the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there looking back on it, was there any kind of favorite Ali moments that you know of? Of course, when you were born, he was retired at that point. But like a lot of us, you've seen old clips or videos or YouTube, clips. Is there any favorite memories that you have of Ali?
One of my favorite interviews, I think, with Ali is when he beat Foreman and he's in the locker room. And he's dog tired, and he has the cameras on him.
Right.
And he tells everybody to be quiet.
Right.
That was the best interview. That's probably the best interview ever. you know, in my I'm not sure yet. He's had many more, but that one was the best one ever. And he's just looking in the camera, and you know everything he's saying, he means it.
That's right.
And there was no cursing.
No.
Spoke his word, and it shuts off.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're looking back on those fights, of course, it was sweltering heat, and I think we discussed it before where he was such a world icon where he fought anywhere and everywhere and fought anybody. And, yeah, man, I guess that's why he's so beloved now to this day. Of course, you know, now that he's gone home. So, yeah, man, it was great. I'm really excited. Glad you got a chance to engage with Holmes, man.
Yeah, that was real cool, you know. So that's somebody that when I'm in the gym, that's one of the names that I hear all the time. You know, you gotta get your jab like Holmes. So, you know, being able to talk to him and hear him speak, it was an honor.
Yeah. So, before I let you go, man, is there any kind of anybody you want to tell the fans out there as far as upcoming fights or dates or promotion you want to get out there?
I just want to, you know, say hopefully I'll be back end of July or beginning of August. You know, thank you to Main Events and my team. Just everybody out there that supports me, my family, and, you know, just watch my progression as I keep climbing the ranks.
I appreciate that, man. Of course, you just like Larry Holmes, you always come through for me, and I appreciate you coming on, man. And you represent Baltimore very well, and I'm always, you know, I'm proud of you, and I always follow your progression.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Anytime you let me know, you know, I'll be on the show.
My man. Thanks a lot, Kat.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, it was young heavyweight Cassius Chaney. As I stated before, he's on the Main Event Promotions, Kathy Duva, who's had a long and rich history in the game of boxing, the Duva family. And I got a chance to meet Cassius about a year ago out in Las Vegas, and I did not know he was from Baltimore. And yeah, man, he's a great young kid. His family is very humble, very smart guy, very intelligent guy, and very athletic. And just keep an eye out for him. He's a good guy. So, yeah, it was great having them both on. He started talking about George Foreman and Ali. And I want to take you guys back to Zaire back in 1975 when he had fought Foreman, and just let you guys hear the end of that fight and how the crowd was in an uproar. Just stop, take a listen.
Foreman can deliver at any time. This man is devastating, to say the least. These punches are not at this particular time. Try to pull a sneaky right hand on Ali. Ali hanging on, getting away with it. The left hand taken on the side of Ali's cheek. The left hook again on the side of the gloves. Right hand by Foreman was not effective. The right uppercut did bounce the head a little bit. His punches will not hurt Ali. Ali just takes him, protecting his face at all times, does Ali. Foreman throwing more punches now. Maybe this could be the tactic of Ali to let the man punch himself out. 30 seconds left in round 8. Very even fight. Ali, a sneaky right hand. Another sneaky right hand. This time he works over the shoulder of Foreman.
Ali has done it.
Wow, that was a great memory going back. Ali versus Foreman. Of course, he ended that fight in round 8. And, of course, all the chants, Ali Boumaye, Ali Boumaye. You see some of the old clips and how the fans would follow him, his bus. And, I mean, it's a weird night because as soon as that fight ended, it was a tremendous storm that swept through that part of Africa, and the fight had just ended, and it was a big part of boxing history, and yeah, one of the most memorable moments in the great, great career of Muhammad Ali. Of course, what got it all started, after the Rome Olympics, of course, he made a name for himself, and what's interesting about this next clip is that he fought the great Sonny Liston, and at that time, Sonny Liston was sort of a figure, a feared figure in the world of boxing. He was sort of like the Mike Tyson of the 60s, in and out of the ring. I mean, he was known to have gangster ties with the mob and everything else, and people in and out of the ring just feared Liston. But Muhammad Ali, for some reason, came into the fight very bold and very confident that he would be able to dethrone Liston, and yeah, many people say that he was crazy. They called Ali crazy, but he didn't back down, and and at that point, you can see that this guy has never, and to my opinion, to this day, there's never been a heavyweight that moved like Ali with the quickness and speed, hand speed, foot speed, lateral movement, ring generalship. There's never been a heavyweight to this day who compares to that, so, which is really crazy because you look, you know, through the progression of athletes for the last 40 or 50 years, you would think, oh, you'll probably have a heavyweight that gets in there is quicker and faster, but no. I mean, there are heavyweights that are bigger now, but none that have it, to me, that same fluid, smooth athletic ability that Ali had. So I'm going to take you back to Ali Liston 1 at the end of the fight, and at that time, a very, very confident Cassius Clay.
Why did this could happen to Liston? Liston was a beaten man. This could happen. I think maybe back of his mind, he thought he was going to get knocked out.
What do you think is going on in Sonny's mind at this point?
Well, I think Sonny now is beginning to worry now. At least his corner is beginning to worry now because I think that they feel now that Clay have all the confidence he needs to go home to defeat Sonny. So I think that the corner now is beginning to worry a little bit now.
He can't him go on winning now.
They might be stopping it. That might be all, ladies and gentlemen. Get up there, Joe. Get up there. Get up in the ring.
Suddenly, Ali breaks free, and he runs to the side of the ring at the press, and he jumps up on the ropes. And I'll never forget, he's saying, I fooled you, and I fooled you, and I fooled you, and I fooled you. I'm the greatest, I'm the best.
All right, he had too much confidence there. Lifting Clay up. Where is he making that speech? Over in the neutral corner. Over in the neutral corner. Get him back here, or get him over there if you can. He's throwing kisses to everybody. Seven busting out here.
Wait, I don't have a mark on my face.
Yeah.
And I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world. I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me, Sonny. I shook up the world. You must listen to me. I am the devil.
All right, all the ladies and gentlemen.
He shook up the world. He shook up the world. That was one of the great, great phrases that the great Muhammad Ali said throughout the years. Of course, right after the fight, his manager and trainer picked him up. He's falling all against the ropes. Even at 22, you can see the confidence of the young man, and it was remarkable what happened that night. Of course, as a backdrop to that clip, the great Joe Louis was announcing at ringside, and you heard the announcer say, "Joe, get up in there, get up in there, and get the interview." I know, like, Joe's like, "What the hell? Who's the, I'm going up here to talk to this 22-year-old kid?" So that was amazing in itself. Of course, I have all the respect in the world for the great Joe Louis as well, one of the greats of all time. So, yeah, that was an interesting clip. So, yeah, once again, if you have any questions or comments or great memories of Ali, 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. Another one of the golden moments in the career of Ali was all three fights against Joe Frazier. Of course, the first being in 1971 at Madison Square Garden, in which he lost a decision to Joe Frazier. Going into that fight, Ali was ridiculed even by Black America for having degrading remarks towards Joe Frazier with the whole tapping of the gorilla and, you know, kind of a thing where a lot of Black America was against Ali at that time. So it was pretty interesting how history, you know, carries us through the last 40, 45 years, how it went. But, yeah, we have a caller on the line. Let's go straight to the lines again. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Garen from Baltimore.
Hey, Garen, what's going on, man? What you got?
I'm good, Chief. How are you?
I'm all right, man. What you think about the whole legacy of Muhammad Ali? You have any great moments or memories from the great icon?
I just remember watching him on ABC back in the day, and back then they fought 15 rounds, not like they fight now. He was more a bigger figure outside of boxing as far as his religious beliefs and everything he stood for. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was a hell of a boxer. Don't get me wrong, I'm not taking that at all away from him. I just think his other issues he had outside of boxing was far bigger than his boxing skills.
Right. And you know what, man? Go ahead, Garrett. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No. You go ahead.
Now, I was saying you're absolutely right, and a lot of people feel that way. Of course, him changing his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, and of course, that was another dynamic added to an already volatile 1960s decade. As we look back on history, what do you think his mark, his biggest mark on the world will be now that he's gone?
I really don't think they'll think about his boxing. It was more or less him standing up against the government as far as his religious beliefs, him not, in some people's eyes, he was a draft dodger or whatever, but if you look at where he was coming from, he believed in his religion more than America, so you have to respect him for that. I know a lot of people didn't see it that way back then, but after a while, they came around. I mean, I've never seen such respect for one man everywhere he goes. It's like everyone knows Ali. They love and respect him. Everyone would want that, but I think it's better to stand out more than his boxing. But
right.
What I wanted to know was, why didn't you ask? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Why didn't you ask? I wanted you to ask, Larry Holmes. Did he really tell Ali he was going to knock Foreman out in the eighth round? That's what I wanted to know.
Oh no. I think what you probably heard, and I've talked to him about this before. At that point, he was almost leaving. He was about to leave Ali's camp because at the end in 1975, and he's told me this before, Larry Holmes is about to leave because at that point, Larry Holmes is becoming a big-time heavyweight figure. So he was no longer going to be in his training camp anymore. But I don't think he told Larry Holmes that. But I'm quite sure, and I've heard this before from different people, that he was very confident and using that rope-a-dope that he will wear down George Foreman in the later rounds. I don't know if he predicted round eight, but I know that he was confident that he would beat him with that tactic, which many people thought as that fight went on, he was crazy because nobody stood up to George Foreman at that time.
Yeah. That's just something I was wondering, man.
Yeah.
So I just want to give you a shout out for everything you're doing. You're doing something that you love, and I wish you much, much success with your endeavors. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it, man. And before you go, I want people to, because Garen is one of the young, great photographers out there. Garen, please put out your information in case. I'm serious about that because he's done a lot of good things in and around the community. And the guy travels the world. He takes wonderful pictures. So just put your information out there real quick and let people know where they can get to you at.
Let's see. I'm on Facebook. I'm Garen Everett, GaronEverett. On Instagram, it's GJEPhotos. Hope you like my work.
Yes, indeed, and I'm quite sure they'll love it. I appreciate you calling in, man. Keep up the good work.
Hey, mad love for you,
yes,
man. Turn the station for life.
No doubt. TS for life. Thank you, brother.
Take care.
Yeah, he's a really good dude. Again, if you haven't heard of Garen, if you, want to see his work, GJE Photos. He's a good dude, and he does fabulous work. You got to see some of the photos that he's taken. They're fantastic. But, he was talking about for a second about his sticking up for his religious beliefs. And one of the really cool things about the funeral services that will be held in Louisville, Kentucky, is that upon him planning for the funeral for the last few years, they said it was planned a few years ago, that he would incorporate all religions. He has a couple of rabbis, reverends, Buddhist leaders. So he's really allowing the world to show that, we can all live as one. And of course, even after 2001 and the bombings and the plane crash in the World Trade Center, he came out and spoke against, radical Islam, saying that this is not the Islam that he studies and he lives by. So he was a great man. And going back, backtrack back into the 60s, when he, this is how I think a lot of people can relate and evolve and, have forward thinking. And I blogged about this a while back when he fought Floyd Patterson. Of course, he was a Christian man, and, he refused to call Ali by his new name. He would call him Cassius, and he refused to do that. And, of course, that infuriated Ali, and Ali went on to beat him. And during the fight, he'd say, what's my name? Say my name, just like he did, Ernie Terrell. What's my name? What's my name? And humiliating these guys. And later on in life, he said, a lot of things that he said, whether it's to Floyd Patterson, Joe Frazier, Ernie Terrell, that, these things were not right. And it's a good learning lesson for us all that if you make a mistake, you can always go back and you can admit that you're wrong and, make up for it. Well, give me a caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Lemmy Brady from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, Lemmy, how are you, man? You have any great Muhammad Ali moments?
Oh, man, I had plenty of them. The thing is, I remember I was such an Ali fan. I remember crying that time he lost to Leon Spinks when I was a kid. My father had to really sit down and give me a big hug and tell me it was going to be all right because I thought it was the end of the world. But the thing I admired the most about Ali, man, was his character, man. He lived what he preached, you know, and you had to admire a person like that. He just didn't talk the talk. He walked the walk. So I really admired him.
That's right. And Lemmy is a – I know Lemmy for a long time, and Lemmy can tell you sometimes we watch boxing and we just had a ball at his home with his dad, who was a great man himself. And Lemmy knew for a long time that I loved boxing because I always go to his house where the big fights came on. So, yeah, man, it was great times we had, man. We can never lose those memories.
Yeah, we had a lot of great times, man. And I just want to let you know, keep up the good work. Keep on pressing on, doing what you're doing, man. And no matter what, I'm going to support you.
I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for calling, Lemmy. I really do, man.
No problem. You have a great one.
All right, brother. That was great. We go way back, and, you know, we all had a great love for Muhammad Ali. So, yeah, we're going to keep it rolling. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello?
Yes,
Hello?
Sir. You on there?
Yeah, my name is Reggie. I'm calling from Baltimore. And I just want to put my little input in about Ali.
Yes, sir.
You know, it kind of struck me because it really took me back. I'm like 56 years old, and it took me way back. And the most memorable thing I have about him is his character. You know, great boxer, great boxer. My parents, I remember when his fights was 15 rounds, and, you know, everybody would, when he was fighting, everybody would come in the house and watch, go in the house and watch the TV. Took me back because I know my dad, we had one of the, in the neighborhood, we had like the only color TV. And I know, you know, what life is about, but to lose him and his legacy, because boxing wouldn't have come and became what it was if it wasn't for Ali.
That's
know?
Right. And,
it's almost like it's almost like James Brown. It's almost like James Brown and them laying the stone for others.
That's
and
right.
Ali, when Ali laid the stone, he laid a part of him within it. You know,
that's right.
And he'll be truly, truly missed. And I know 2 years ago I went. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish the story.
Yeah, I know. A few years ago, excuse me, I went to Louisville, Kentucky, and for a family reunion, and we was taking a tour, and I rode past his house in his neighborhood, and it's like, you know, I'm actually seeing where he was brought up at, you know, and I was so excited. And then after that, we went to his museum, you know, and when I got into his museum, it was so laid back that, I mean, the plush seats. It was like a small theater with your own personal monitor. And you can punch in any fight that he fought. And I didn't move. You know, I told my cousin them, y'all can go ahead. Go ahead. They going down to Louisville, the baseball museum, the plant. I was like, I stayed right there. And it was like me and six other guys. And we were just, it was just quiet. We had our own half and half drinks. And it's like I didn't want to move, you know. And all that took me back. But then when I think about Ali, I think about Howard Cosell.
Sure.
Because they were like two peas in a pod, you know. But
now, since
you
brought up Howard, do you remember any, like, great Howard Ali moment that sticks out in your mind, or just a group of them just put together because they had so many?
Right, I remember there was one, I can't quite recall the details, but there was one that they was having a great debate. They was having a debate, and Ali wouldn't let them get a word in. But I know they was best of friends. I know they was more than just, it was more than just business with them. They was just friends.
That's right.
You know, and when I started watching, it was, you know, Ali was Cassius Clay. Cassius Clay. And then Ali, you know, and I went with that, you know. But and the way he stood up against Vietnam, you know, and I didn't quite understand it then until I got older and I started doing some research and history about it and reading about it. And he was strong. He was strong. He was a strong man.
And you know what, Rez, people don't realize at that point, he had just turned 25 years old. So it wasn't like it was this grown man who was 35, 40, 45, 50 years old. This was a guy who was 25 years old who's saying, okay, I have something that I believe in, so I'm going to stick up for what I believe in, sacrificing 3.5 years of his maximum earning power at that time, because at that time he was a phenom. And the money that he left out there, the fights that he left out there, and, you know, from 25 to 28 years old, it was unbelievable. Right. But, you know, for someone that age to say, look, this is what I believe in, it takes a lot of balls and a lot of grit. And, you know, no matter what side of the fence, no matter what side of the fence you're on, you got to respect that.
Right, right. And I also think that the government, they just knew he was going to bend. They knew he was going to bend. They were thinking of Wade. And as time went on and seeing that he was still standing, they were still trying to break him, and he wouldn't break. He was just like in the ring. You're not going to break me. You're not going to break me. But I'm going to tell you this before I wrap up, and I hope another caller call in. I watched the fight of him. I think it was him and Ken Norton. Mm-hmm. And Ken Norton had him in the corner. And Ken Norton was weighing him out. He was weighing him out. And I said, man, he just would not go down. He wouldn't go down. And then he came back and went to work. And that was my best fight. That's the best memorable fight I had. He went back and started working on it. Yes, he did.
Yeah, that was the fights. The battles with Norton were classic. Yes, they were.
Yeah, but he's going to have he's going to be truly missed. And I hope the boxers of the day take a look at him, you know, and really take it. I don't think a lot of these young boxers have really taken a look at Ali. It's like, I want to be the next Ali. But there's never going to be another Ali, first of all. You know, you may come a little close, but you will never be another Ali, you know, because it was too much. Ali had too much going other than just boxing.
I agree.
So I'm gonna hang up and hopefully give another caller a chance to call in. And nice talking to you, Cheese, and I appreciate you listening to me.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, bro.
Have a good night.
All right, that was a great call from Reggie. And he brought up an interesting point going back to Ken Norton. And, you know, in the fight he's referring to, at that point, Ken Norton had broke Ali's jaw. But he just stayed up. He couldn't knock him down, and Ken Norton was absolutely feasting on him. But Ali always had this saying, you know, the skill and the will. And once your skills seem like they may be diminishing, or you're getting tired and you feel like you don't have the stamina that you had in the earlier rounds, then it becomes a test of will. And that's when you got to say, well, this man beat me. I won't allow him to beat me. I'll do whatever I can. He will not defeat me. And I've heard a lot of boxers, announcers, people in and out around the sport of boxing saying no one had the will of Muhammad Ali. And I checked the record, because he never was knocked out. He was knocked down, but he was never knocked out. And he went against some of the most vicious punches of all time. So that in itself is a testament to the will of, as I call him, a world icon. Because you can take Ali, or you could take him, drop him anywhere in the world. I don't care if it was Kazakhstan or Iraq or Zimbabwe or Antarctica. They will say, Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali. Not many people, and in my opinion, the 20th century, he was the most recognizable athlete of all time. You look at the ESPNs, and they come up with, you know, Michael Jordan, of course, and, you know, who was big, and Babe Ruth. But it was no one who moved the needle like Muhammad Ali. So you have to give him his props. No matter how you look at him, you have to respect him. So. Yeah, man, that is a great show so far. We won't have too much longer. Wanted to take you guys back to one of the most most iconic fights he had, and that was, of course, the Thriller in Manila against Joe Frazier. And, of course, this fight was their third fight. And, of course, Frazier won the first one, Ali won the second. So this fight was in the Philippines, and it was sweltering heat, as it seems like all of his fights were. And, you know, Imelda Marcos and everybody there in the Philippines was there to witness this fight. So I'll take you back to the Thriller in Manila, 1975.
I hope that you guys enjoyed the fight. It was a heck of a fight. It was hot. It was tough. I thought that my man fought a good fight. And, I guess we'll be meeting each other sometime again, I hope, anyway. But when you see him and I, it's always be a fight. That's the problem. Yeah. I can't hear you.
How'd you feel when Eddie said it's all over, Joe? How did you feel?
Well, I wasn't very pleased about it, but, you know, Ed always the boss, and he can see what's going on wrong out there, and maybe I'd want to continue, but he said, no, let's stop it.
How much trouble were you in, Joe? How groggy? How beat up were you, 13?
Well, not beat up. I just couldn't see. My eyes were closed on me, and I couldn't see what I was doing.
Well, you're hurt, Joe. Well, you're hurt.
I wouldn't say I was hurt because I feel like I could continue.
Joe, were you disappointed it would stop?
Well, I wasn't happy about it, but I had
want
to continue going on.
He's greater than I thought he was. He's great. When I say great, his style is a style that only he can be successful with. I think he fought a good fight. It was close, and during the last round, it was close. Couldn't win either way, I heard. And it was my rally to pull it out, and the constant pounding that finally took effect. But he is great. I'm so tired, I don't want to do nothing. I want to rest for 1 week. My hips are sore, my arms are sore. I'm going to take a rest now. That's my fourth fight in 1 year. But there's a great possibility, fellas. This might be my last fight tonight. A great possibility. You probably saw the last of Ali. I'm considering retiring to let Norton, Fulman, Frazier, whoever fight for the title. I want to get out of it.
I hope that you guys enjoyed the fight.
Wow, that's incredible. Looking back on that, of course, is in Manila in the Philippines, 1975, 41 years ago almost, and to that historic night. And just heard Ali said, you know, that would be his last fight. Many people felt that that should have been his last fight, because at that point, you heard him said that was his fourth fight of the year in 1975. Now, mind you, that was in October, and he had already fought four times. And, of course, just before that, he had fought the George Foreman. So, I mean, this guy has had battle after battle after battle, and he persevered. And even at that point, you can see diminishing skills. He was still, you know, the best heavyweight in the world, but you can see that he wasn't what he used to be. The punishment, he was starting to take more punishment at that point. And, of course, he went on to fight some more. And, you know, a couple of years later, he lost to Leon Spinks, in which he would avenge that loss and get the title back. And, of course, moving forward to 1980, he lost against Larry Holmes. And so, yeah, there you have it. And, you know, we often say that we want to make a difference, or you do things in life where you say, you know, I helped this person out, and, you know, you did this, and you tap yourself on the chest. But when you look at a guy like Muhammad Ali, who touched a lot of people in the world, who made a big difference, who, and he said that, you know, upon his death, that he wanted to go to heaven, and he wanted all people to know that he was going to try to help for, you know, for world peace and do everything that he could, you know, to make the life better for everyone. And we all can't say that. A lot of people say things, but they'll do it with the intention of, you know, backstabbing or doing this. And then this guy was, like Larry Holmes stated, was a truly genuine man. So, yeah, I mean, we lost a great one. Yeah, we lost a great one. Yeah, I don't want to start on here, but you guys know where I'm going with this. I want the kids out there to, if you get a chance, to read about the man and just understand where he came from, what he did, how he did it, why he did it, and you know, just try to understand that, you know, you want to make a difference. You know, you out here, and if anybody listening, the parents listening, you got kids out there, and I'm kind of switching over, but it still is relevant. You know, you got kids, you know, if you see them doing the wrong thing, going down the wrong path, just, you know, just stop them and say, look, you know, this is not the right way to do it. We have role models like Muhammad Ali. Have them read about them. And, you know, a lot of society gets on athletes. And I talked about this to one of the best writers in the business. And he said, you know, we as reporters or bloggers, we want these athletes to say certain things or stand up for certain things, but as soon as they do, they're ridiculed for it and torn down. And he was just, he being Muhammad Ali, was just the guy who did not allow any kind of establishment or media allow them to dictate what he was going to say and how he was going to say it and how he was going to walk his walk. He did it on his own terms. And I think a lot of us in the media, including myself, should embrace that and allow these athletes to be who they want to be and allow them to express themselves, because a lot of them say, oh, I just want to play. I just want to box. I don't want to hear what they have to say. Well, that's terrible, because the minute they do something wrong, then it's, oh, they're a bad role model. But if they speak up and try to say the right thing or have an opinion about something, then you don't want them to talk. So you can't have it both ways. So allow these young men to be young men. A lot of them are going to make mistakes, but you cannot beat them down for the rest of their life for it. And that's what it was. And, you know, fast forward from Muhammad Ali not wanting to be drafted, 30, 40 years later, he was absolutely loved around the world. So it's a lesson learned. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys, you know, chilling with Cheese today. I hope this show was really cool. I hope you really liked it and enjoyed it. As we celebrated the life of the world icon, Muhammad Ali. So, yeah, I want to let you guys know that it'll be a busy week for chillingwithcheese.com. I will be in Madison Square Garden this Saturday night for the big HBO fight card with Vasyl Lomachenko going against Rocky Martinez. That should be a great night of boxing. Of course, that's Puerto Rican Pride weekend in New York City. It's going to be a madhouse at the Garden. Felix Verdejo's on the card. Mike Yes and D Reed will be on the card. Of course, it's Top Rank. There's Bob Arum. Bob Arum, of course, had a great relationship with Muhammad Ali, who was a Top Rank fighter. So, yes, I'll have a live, post-fight video blog outside Madison Square Garden on that night. So it should be great. I'll try to do a pre-fight blog, get some interviews, and, of course, do what I can to, you know, keep the fun rolling. So until my next show, this is Chilling with Cheese, and I'm out, and we'll leave you with some more of the great Muhammad Ali.
I hear a lot of talk about old-time great fighters. I hear people say that Joe Louis, Jack Dempsey, Jack Johnson, Jim Jeffries, and all of them would have annihilated the likes of myself, Muhammad Ali. After watching these films, watching their opponents, watching their styles, watching how they fought, watching the footwork and their speed, and my critics will admit that I am the fastest heavyweight in the history of boxing with feet and hands. It may come as a shock to you, but I say that I would have beat every heavyweight that ever lived before me.
Joe's gonna come out smoking, and I ain't gonna be joking. I'll be pecking and a poking, pouring water on his smoking. Then this might shock and amaze you, but I will destroy Joe Frazier.
Is Joe Frazier your cousin?
That's right. He sure is.
And you think your cousin can whoop me?
Uh-huh.
You really do?
Uh-huh. Anybody on my...
Anybody on your what?
Anybody in my family, I think,
can
help me.
Anybody in your family can whoop me?
Yeah,
help
me.
I'm sorry, Joe Frazier's your cousin. After I whoop Joe Frazier, you still gonna come in here and buy a hamburger?
Uh-huh.
If I beat him, you gonna still buy a hamburger?
Uh-huh.
All right.
But try not to.
Try not to.
Let me see you close your mouth and just keep it closed.
Well, you know that's impossible.
No, 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 keep it closed.
You know that's impossible. I'm the greatest. And I'm knocking out all bones. And if you get too small, I'll knock you out.
Of course.
Slow Joe Louis, whoop me, slow moving, shuffling Joe Louis, beat me.
Henry Cooper's nothing to me. If this bum go over 5 rounds, I won't return to the United States for 30 days. That's final.
Okay, since you're not worried about this guy Cooper, how about when you get through with him? What are your plans after that?
Well, you're right. I'm not even worried about this big bum. Cooper will only be a warm-up until I get to that big ugly bear, Sonny Liston.
London, England, I jumped off the airplane. Picture, cameraman, everywhere I go, you can look in the gym today. The TV, the cameraman, everybody follows me. I'm so great.
See that bear on the street? I beat him before the fight.
You'd actually take him on before the fight?
Beat him like I'm his daddy. I make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history, and this will be the easiest fight of my life. The bum is training harder for this fight than any fight in the past.
This is Cassius Marcellus Clay. He's young, he's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, a prophet, and many people believe he'll be the next heavyweight champion of the world. I saw Sonny Liston a few days ago, Cash.
Ain't he ugly?
He's
too ugly to be the world champ. The world champ should be pretty like me.
Well, he told me to bet my life that you wouldn't go 3 rounds.
Well, if you want to lose your money, then bet on Sonny.
Oh, may I ask you
because
this?
Because I'll never lose a fight. It's impossible. Tell him. It's impossible.
Never lost a fight in your life.
Ask any of my fans when was the last time they lost. I'm too fast.
Champion from
the
crib.
I'm the king.
King of the crib.
Born the champ.
Born the champ from the crib.
I predict that he will go in 8 to prove that I am great. And if he want to go to heaven, I'll get him in 7. He'll be in the worst of fix if I cut it to 6. And if he keeps talking jive, I'll cut it to 5.
I'm the king of the world.
Hold it.
You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
I don't want to mess with your trainer. I just want you to know that from now on, you are the rabbit.
Well, do it sound like I'm quiet to you? As loud as I'm hollering, you call me quiet?
Well, this is a report. We're here
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world, and I want every...